You are tuned in to Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTO 104.3. And in the studio with me tonight is Mr. Bill Mark.
Well, hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
I'm very glad to have you back. Mr. Mark, he is one of our wonderful poets of our town, and he is with Rouge Canadier. And he's helped me pronounce that many times over, so I'm very proud to say, I got it. So he's here because he's going to tell us about an upcoming poetry slam that is happening in our fair town this Friday. Bill, you want to tell us about that right now?
Sure, absolutely. It's the February slam. We've gone a month later than we normally do. Typically, it's the third Friday of every month, but we have a special treat this month, and we decided that we were going to put the event on a month later because we're partnering this month with the Alaska State Library Association. They're having their statewide annual meeting, and it's in Juneau, and they approached us, I want to say, in October or November of last year and invited us to partner with them, and we were very excited for that. So we said, whenever you want to do it, we're there.
That's great. So when is this wonderful event occurring?
It's going to be Friday, and it's going to be at Centennial Hall, a typical time, 6:30. Sign-ups at 6. We'll start open mic at 6:30. We'll have a break, and then we'll do the competitive portion. Be probably 7:15, something like that, 7:30.
Okay, so this Friday, February 27th, Centennial Hall, and it's going to be an open mic and poetry slam at 6:30 p.m. Sign up to read, though, is at 6.
Correct.
It's going to be hosted by who?
Christy Erickson, Connor Lindrum, and very happy to have Jonas Lamb, who's also a local writer, co-host. So we have three co-hosts this month, which we're very excited about that. We also have a theme again. We're getting into the monthly themes, and it's going to be volumes.
Is the theme. And what does volumes mean?
Whatever you want it to mean. It can be loud, it can be books, it can be music, whatever. Volumes, whatever
that's
you
wonderful.
Like.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Now, is there going to be a charge for this slam?
No, this is typically the way we do this is pay as you can. We just want to get as many people there to appreciate the work, and if they feel they can drop a dollar in the box, that's great. If not, that's fine, too.
Okay.
No expectations.
And now, the last slam that I was at, which was at Silverbow,
mm-hmm.
there was not a door charge, but you had wonderful items to sell.
Typically, we have merchandise, and I assume, I haven't talked with Christy, but I assume we're going to have our merchandise table set up with books and sweatshirts and whatever other swag we can find. We still have copies of our chapbook available that just came out in January. So, again, very excited about getting everybody in the door. And those who haven't been to an event like this, it's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity for us as a community to really represent to the rest of the state what we have to offer. We're very proud of that.
Well, that sounds great, and it's going to be a much bigger venue than it normally
mm-hmm.
is also.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it
accessible
off.
To anybody, folks who happen to be in wheelchairs, whatever,
mm-hmm.
easy come in, please, plenty of room.
Right.
Encourage, again, everybody, all abilities to come down and check us out.
That sounds great. Okay, well, we're going to be back with Mr. Bill Merck with some poetry, so we're going to take a little break and give you a chance to get a little more settled like I normally do in the beginning of the show. So, we'll be right back. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G and Bill Mark, poet laureate of Juneau. Hello there. This is Ms. G back with Telling Tales and Bill Merck, who is our poet guest for tonight. And Bill, you have a poem for us, do you not?
I do, actually, and I'll preface it by just saying it's nothing that I have written. I've been reading this book called Saints of Hysteria, which is a collection of a bunch of American collaborative poetry. And so this comes from this book. This book came out in 2007. Just found it online last week and thought it'd be interesting. So we'll take a look.
Sounds good.
So this is a poem called Social Etiquette, and it's written by James Bertolino and Anita K. Boyle. Social Etiquette. When a manly man puts his hands on another, it should be kind of brusque. And when a woman touches an animal, her fingers should be listening for what is subtle and true. There's something about the truth in a child's voice that can never be understood by a Republican and is always seen as threatening to the military mind. There you go. A little short and sweet.
It was short and sweet. I do like that. I like that very much. Wow, that's our theme.
There you go.
We're not doing volumes. We're doing short and sweet. No, I like that. Social etiquette. Very nice. And speaking of short and sweet, I was telling Bill that I have a very short story tonight that I have been savoring and waiting on, and this is the perfect time for it. It is by Edgar Carret. He is a wonderful author who writes like a poet. He is from Israel, and the name of his love story is called Fatso. So this is Edgar Carret's Fatso. Surprised? Of course I was surprised. You go out with a girl, first date, second date, a restaurant here, a movie there, always just matinees. You start sleeping together. The sex is mind-blowing. And pretty soon, there's feeling, too. And then, one day, she shows up in tears. And you hug her and tell her to take it easy. Everything's going to be okay. And she says she can't stand it anymore. She has this secret. Not just a secret. Something really awful. A curse. Something she's been wanting to tell you from the beginning, but she didn't have the guts. This thing has been weighing her down, and now she's got to tell you. She's simply got to. But she knows that as soon as she does, you'll leave her, and you'll be absolutely right to leave her too. And then she starts crying all over again. I won't leave you, you tell her. I won't. I love you. You try to look concerned, but you're not. Not really. Or rather, if you are concerned, it's about her crying, not about her secret. You know by now that these secrets that always make a woman fall to pieces are usually something along the lines of doing it with an animal. Or a Mormon. Or with someone who paid her for it. I'm a whore, they always wind up saying. And you hug them and say, no, you're not. You're not. And if they don't stop crying, all you can do is say, shh. It's something really terrible, she insists, as if she's picked up on how nonchalant you are about it, even though you've tried to hide it. In the pit of your stomach, it may sound terrible, you tell her, but that's just acoustics. As soon as you let it out, it won't seem anywhere near as bad. You'll see. And she almost believes you. She hesitates, and then she asks, what if I told you that at night, I turn into a heavy, hairy man with no neck, with a gold ring on his pinky. Would you still love me? And you tell her, of course you would. What else can you say? That you wouldn't? She's just trying to test you, to see whether you love her unconditionally. And you've always been a winner at tests. In fact, as soon as you say it, she melts. And you do it. Right there in the living room. And afterward, you lie there holding each other tight. And she cries because she's so relieved. And you cry too. Go figure. And unlike all the other times, she doesn't get up and go. She stays there and falls asleep. And you lie awake, looking at her beautiful body, at the sunset outside, at the moon appearing as if out of nowhere, at the silvery light flickering over her body, stroking the hair on her back. And within 5 minutes, you find yourself lying next to this guy, this short, fat guy,
And the guy gets up and smiles at you and awkwardly gets dressed. He leaves the room and you follow him, spellbound. He's in the den now, his thick fingers fiddling with the remote, zapping to the sports channels, championship soccer. When they miss a pass, he curses the TV. When they score, he gets up and does a little victory dance. After the game, he tells you that his throat is dry and his stomach is growling. He could really use a beer and a big steak. Well done, if possible, and with lots of onion rings, but he'd settle for pork chops. So you get in the car and take him to this restaurant that he knows about. This new twist has you worried. It really does, but you have no idea what you should do. Your command and control centers are down. You shift gears at the exit in a daze. He's right there beside you in the passenger seat, tapping the gold ring pinky of his. At the next intersection, he rolls down his window, winks at you, and yells at a girl who's trying to thumb a ride. Hey, baby, want to play nanny goat and ride in the back? Later, the two of you pack in the steak and the chops and the onion rings till you're about to explode. And he enjoys every bite and laughs like a baby. And all that time, you keep telling yourself, it's got to be a dream. A bizarre dream, yes, but definitely one that you'll snap out of any minute. On the way back, you ask him where he'd like you to drop him off, and he pretends not to hear you, but he looks despondent, so you wind up taking him home. It's almost 3 a.m. I'm hitting the sack, you tell him, and he waves his hand and stays in the beanbag chair staring at the fashion channel. You wake up the next morning exhausted and your stomach hurts, and there she is in the living room, still dozing. By the time you've had your shower, she's up. She gives you a sheepish hug, and you're too embarrassed to say anything. Time goes by, and you're still together. The sex just gets better and better. She's not so young anymore, and neither are you. And suddenly you find yourselves talking about a baby. And at night, you and Fatso hit the town like you've never done in your life. He takes you to restaurants and bars you didn't even know existed. And you dance on the tables together and break plates like there's no tomorrow. He's really nice, the Fatso. A little crass, especially with women. Sometimes the thing he comes out with make you want to sink into the floor. Other than that, he's lots of fun. When you first met him, you didn't give a damn about soccer, but now you know every team. And whenever one of your favorites wins, you feel like you've made a wish and it's come true, which is pretty exceptional feeling for someone like you, who hardly knows what he wants most of the time. And so it goes. Every night, you fall asleep with him struggling to stay awake for the Argentinian finals. And in the morning, there she is. The beautiful, forgiving woman who you love, too, till it hurts. That was Fatso by wow. Edgar Carrot. He's got some imagination.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you are tuning in to Telling Tales with Ms. G. Make no mistake about that, here at 104.3 KDOO with Bill Merck with me tonight. And we'll be back with more poems here at KTOO. Stay tuned. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G with Bill Merck. I hope you liked that last story. It was definitely interesting, I'm sure. You all thought so. And sorry about that, wandered away. And Mr. Bill Merck is here in the studio with me to give us some wonderful poems as well as telling us about an upcoming slam. So I'm going to let him decide what he'd like to do next, poetry or telling us about the slam for anybody who's missed it.
Well, again, the open mic poetry slam by Wish Cannot AE is this Friday at Centennial Hall. Sign-ups at 6. The event starts at 6:30. The theme this month is volumes, which is very exciting, we think. And we're partnering with the Alaska Association of Librarians, which is really, really cool. So can't wait to see what comes of that.
Yeah, and I also see that aside from having three hosts, you're also going to have DJ Manu doing the music.
DJ Manu, we would not be who we are without DJ Manu. He's absolutely fabulous. He's committed to being there. He just makes it the event that it is.
That's great. I really like the music that he plays, but I also like how he interjects emotion in a way. So if you're supposed to laugh or you're supposed to cry or he gives you a drum roll, whatever, he's just on it.
He's
really
important.
Like
he's a key piece of the puzzle, absolutely. He's
definitely
been with us. He's volunteered his time for the last 5 years, and we just love him to death.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so you also have another poem for me, yes?
Yes, I do. Yay. Again, this is from this book of American collaborative poetry that I found online called Saints of Hysteria. A lot of fun stuff in here. This one's called The Other Side of the Sky, and it's written by Stephen Dunn and Lawrence Robb. And it goes like this. When God was waiting to be invented, the sky was thinner. You could have touched it, then turned away without the fear of being seen, gone back to your father's house where everything was quiet. Perhaps the moon shone on a mountain lake. Animals and heroes were the shapes the stars made long before you heard the stories meant to explain them. And when you asked your father about the sky, if there was another side to it, if there was an end, he said you'd know how to think about it when you had to. And you believed him. Of all the lies you carried with you, that one hurt the most to leave behind. Thanks.
That was beautiful.
I really like that poem.
Yeah, that's very nice. And let's see. Oh, is it my turn?
It's absolutely your turn.
We're taking turns here about reading stuff tonight. So, yes, I found a poem in my lovely In the Spirit of Wee Moon book, 30 Years of Wee Moon Poetry. And this one is by Joyce Hayden. It's titled Ways of Seeing. In the car, after the operation, my niece, not yet three, notices my tears. You crying? She asks. I nod, try to smile. I'll make you laugh, she tells me, as she sticks her fingers in her mouth and pulls her lips wide, sticks out her tongue, crosses her eyes. Despite the incision, despite the babies I'll never bear, I laugh. Don't worry, I hear as I close my eyes. There's an angel beside you. There is. Yes, she says, in that, of course, kind of way only three-year-olds can manage. Where is it? Frustrated now, she groans. Right there, and points to my left side. I smile. We ride alone in silence. Oh, it moved over there, pointing now over my shoulder. She's blue. Chloe states with absolute faith. Her mother and I exchange glances. My heart, itself exploding in blue, beats to the rhythm of a three-year-old, reflecting a world in which everything is common, everything possible, everything a promise. That was Ways of Seeing by Joyce Hayden.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's out of the celebration of Wee Moon 30 Years in Spirit of Wee Moon. So, we're still doing Telling Tales here, and we're going to take a small teeny-weeny break, give you some music, and be right back with some more poetry from Ms. G and Bill Merck here at Telling Tales 104.3 KTOO.
hello there. This is Ms. G. I'm back with Bill Mark here at Telling Tales with Ms. G at KTOO 104.3. And he has another poem for us tonight.
This is called The Literary Community, and it's written by Stacy Harwood and David Lehman. And reading the notes of how this was put together, it sounds like these two went out to went out and had dinner, had a couple cocktails, had an appetizer, and just wrote the poem while they were eating. And I find it humorous. We'll see what the general take is of it.
Okay.
The Literary Community. Mia and Mark, we want to welcome you to the Association of Alcoholic Aphorists, the Brotherhood of Bards, the Congress of Charismatic Correspondents, the Diaspora of Diarists, the Ecole of Ecstatic Essayists, the Fraternity of Flaming Fabricators, the Guild of Guilty Time Wasters, the Hordes of Horny Haiku-Slinging Whores, the Institute of Ink-Stained Inditers, the Jury of Jaded Journalists, the Kangaroo Court of Critical Opinion, the League of Literature's Loopy Lovers, the Masson of Masturbating Memoirists, the Nation of Nervous Narrators, the Organization of Obfuscation, the Prison House of Impenitent Plagiarists, the Quonset Hut of Quotable Queers, the Republic of Wry Raconteurs, the Society of Scribes, the Tea Party of the Literati, the Union of the Underrated, the Vault of the Vilified Versifiers, the Wretched Ranks of Real Writers, the Xanadu of Eccentric Experts, the Yugoslavia of Yesterday's Youthful Yaddo-goers, and the Zero-Sum Game of Zeus. There's your alphabet poem for the evening.
And yes, it was very humorous.
And that'll give your tongue a workout there.
It really will.
Yeah, that's fun.
I like that.
So it's the literary community.
I like that. That's very nice. Okay, so it is my turn to read a poem, and I've read this one before, actually. I believe it was last week, but it was good, and someone told me it was good, and they said that I should share it, so I'm sharing it with Bill tonight. It's called From Whence My Inspiration Flows by Mr. Blue-Eyed Bola. I write my poems on the train, compose them with my aging brain. Somewhere between the page and pen, the muse alights, but not till then. Do words of wonder start to flow, and stanzas set aflame and glow. Left to myself, serve sorry sap, but sometimes in between the gap. A star sublime doth slyly shoot, to plant on earth Olympus's root. A line relayed from distant shore, where souls all go when life's no more. Without that true and tender touch, my rhymes would not amount to much. But words writ down, whilst feeling keen, invite the gods to intervene. And into verse with hollow sound, they breathe new life from hollowed ground. That was, from whence my inspiration flows, Mr. Blue-Eyed Bola. And he writes a lot of poems, and I'm lucky enough that I have clicked onto him and said, you're one of my favorites. He's in Australia, so we're very different time zones. And he checks out when I tell him I read his stuff, and then he sends me kudos. So.
Oh, very nice.
I know, that is very nice of him. So, we're getting close. We've got about 2 minutes left on the clock, and I'd like you to take that time to, if you want, to give us more information, short and sweet, about the upcoming slam. I don't want anybody to miss this one. It's a doozy.
It's really one we're excited about, and I really like to invite folks who maybe haven't seen any of our events, because the setup is going to be great. There's going to be a lot more room than typical. It's one of the larger venues that we've been to, from what I'm understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a different audience, really encouraging people who haven't had the courage maybe to come in and share something to do that, because you're going to have a lot of people there. It's going to be very supportive, a very warm, very friendly audience. So as our events always are, but I think there's just going to be a lot of love in the room on Friday night. So.
I think
think so, and you'll see a lot more people come because this is a larger venue, and there's always seems to be a different crowd at each of the slams. I have only been to 4 slams, but I never see the same people every time, in the audience anyway.
That's true. We do tend to, each event does seem to be a little different, a little unique,
right.
Which is great, because you never know what you're going to get. You never know who's going to sign up, what
right.
they're going to bring, what kind of craziness Mike Christensen's going to perform for you.
True.
You never know where Michael's coming from.
Exactly, definitely. So, check it out this Friday, February 27th at Centennial Hall. It is Wushkanadie Open Mic and Poetry Slam. Doors open at 6, probably a little earlier than that, but sign up is to read is at 6, and it starts at 6:30, and the theme is volumes, and there's going to be a lot to do there, so bring some cash, because you might want to buy a slam book or a t-shirt or whatever they have, but it's pay as you can to get in the door. Right?
Absolutely. And again,
okay.
Please come out and see us. It sounds like the weather might be good, but
yeah.
You can spare an hour and a half, 2 hours of your time.
Sure, of course. So this has been Telling Tales with Ms. G and my guest, Bill Merck. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight here at KTOO 104.3. And until next time, good night.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.